shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra. Bedtime turns me off and I don't
mean maybe. Welcome to a quick edition of the Nocturnal Journal tonight. We're going to talk supper clubs. We're going to hear the music of Rico, who are in the studio. But I'll get out of the way. We're going to talk about the documentary, Old Fashioned, the story of the Wisconsin Supper Club. And in studio, we have Holly L. D. Ryder, the director, editor, and producer of the documentary, and Brian Risalda.
Risalata.
And you are the associate producer. Tell us, six years you worked on this?
Yep, 6 years.
And what was the motivation? I know you're from Wisconsin, but tell us the motivation and how you got the project off the ground.
Yeah, the motivation was, I came to Chicago for school, and when I came here, I didn't think much was going to change. It's just a large city in the Midwest, you know, just have to get used to public transportation and big buildings. And I crossed the state line and quickly learned that Wisconsin has a very unique culture, and a lot of that is embodied in the Supper Club. So I came here to study documentary filmmaking, and I finally got to make a documentary on my home state and an institution that I thought really deserves some attention.
And you went to Columbia, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you start? I mean, what was the first supper club you went to? Did you go to one by, you grew up by Green Bay?
Yep.
Tell us how you began the journey.
Yeah, when you grow up in Wisconsin, going to a supper club is just, you know, it's just part of life up there. So we had like a normal supper club, like a regular supper club my family would go to on my dad's side as part of family events, like grandma and grandpa's anniversary. And that was the Colonial House out in Freedom, Wisconsin. So just having that experience, and then supper clubs are just tied into life up there in so many ways, like Friday Fish Fry, supper club, somebody's wedding, supper club. It's just a part of the fabric up there. So it just was something that I really want to examine why this exists.
And you covered, is it right, up almost 40 different locations in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we wanted to show how supper clubs are. You can definitely tell when you walk into a place if it's a supper club, but they're very hard to define because they vary so much in decor and kind of like some of them are more have themes or more upscale and some are a little bit more simple. Different locations, some of them are rural, some of them are urban. So we wanted to show that there is a variety of these supper clubs and kind of show that you can't cookie cutter them, you know, into the same mold, but they all have the same basic structure that makes them what they are.
We'll go on your road trip after we break for the news. But, you know, when I did my supper club book, one thing I learned, I think this is from a professor in Wisconsin, and what were your earliest memories? Because one thing I learned was, and I like sense of place in the stuff I do, mm-hmm. and they said a place isn't a place until it's remembered. Mm-hmm. And these places are so unique. And so personally, for both of you guys, I know you're from Michigan, but what are your earliest memories of going to places like this?
My earliest memories as a child would be getting a kiddie cocktail.
Yeah.
That makes you feel special as a kid, that you get some respect at these supper clubs. I think that's a big thing for kids, is they're a part of the experience. They get respect. They're kind of there, too, to have an experience, have a good dining experience. And then I just remember as a kid, you know, you're always looking to explore. And supper clubs have a lot of dark corners where different booths and different, like, game rooms that you could go and kind of look around and get a different experience at each one, because not every supper club was the same.
What was your first experience at a supper club being from Michigan?
Yeah, Brian? I'd never been to Wisconsin much. So early on when we were dating was around the same time when she was coming up with this idea, and we were out camping somewhere because we both just like tent camping, and we rolled up to this place and we just went in to get a drink, and she said, "Oh, this is a supper club." And I said, "Okay, it just looks like a really cool old place." And I didn't realize it was like a specific kind of institution. So I think that was called, Sullivan's?
Sullivan's outside of Trumbull?
Trumbull.
Yeah, it's not far from La Crosse.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been there.
Park.
It's like right outside the state park. But, you know, it's like here's the entrance to the state park, and right there's a supper club.
Yeah.
And then I got to see the one that she always went to with her family when they were growing up, and it was just kind of like seeing a place that was kind of like with her memories.
It is so well researched. We'll talk about that in a minute too, but it premieres at 7:45 January 23rd at the Siskel Center, 164 North State, and again at 6 p.m. January 28th at the Siskel Center. Okay, we're going to talk about your road trip after we break from the news, so don't go away from Nocturnal Journal.
So I sing you to sleep after the loving. The song I just wrote yesterday, and I hope you can hear with the words and the music to say. It's so hard.
I haven't heard that in a while. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's Billy Anderson, the late, great Billy Anderson from Wally's House of Embers up in Wisconsin Dells. We're here with Holly DeRider and Brian Risalata of Old Fashioned, the Story of the Wisconsin Supper Club, that premieres at 7:45 January 23rd at the Siskel Center, 164 North State. I mean, when did you guys, you did so much research on this. It looks so great. I mean, the graphics are really good. The graphics are really hip.
Yeah.
It's got a great feel. Mm-hmm. When did you know you were done? When did you decide this is it? We've got it.
I don't think she ever did.
You always want to keep on tweaking it and fixing things. Even when I watch it today, I'm like, I want to fix that. I want to change that. You just kind of have to let it go. We knew at a point where we were actually on a trip to go get some last-minute B-roll. And we went up to the Al Jinn in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And we were up there, and we ended up getting some interviews that were really key to the piece. And that was a point where I was just like, okay, this is what's really going to make it the strongest piece that it can be. And anything after this is just going to be nitpicking. So there's just a moment where you're just kind of like, all the puzzle pieces are in place, it's good to go, and you just have to like walk away slowly.
What else is great, and of course, you know, the funny story, I ran into you, was it 2 or 3 years ago? 3 years ago, maybe?
Oh,
at Turks?
Three,
was it four?
Maybe?
Yeah. I was researching my book at Turks up in Hayward. Mm-hmm. And Marge, you can tell the story. And then I run into you guys. I always tell people running into you, there were more media people and stuff than there were customers. This is maybe 4 p.m. I know it was winter or spring, early spring. But what I want to get at there is the importance of catching these oral histories. I mean, you got her in there. She's in there. You've got that place. Talk about her. Talk about Turks and some other places that have gone by the wayside that you got.
Yeah, that was one of the things when we started shooting this documentary. I quickly realized that we were documenting places that they were probably going to disappear very soon, and it was really important that we do the best job we can to document them. Marge's Turks, when I discovered that place, my jaw was on the floor when I walked in. It was amazing. The decor was amazing, the atmosphere there, the sense of community, the history was just great. Marge and her family just had a really strong history with politics and famous people coming there. Kennedys, she like knew the Kennedys and hung out with the
Kennedys. Didn't she have all those collector's plates and stuff? I seem to remember that.
Yeah, she had. So the family had an interesting story. Basically, like her family came here as refugees. Her dad took the name George for George Washington. They were very proud to be here and very proud of their supper club. And that's the one place when I take my film like to screen it, the one place that everybody mentions is I've been to Turks, and it like has touched them.
Yeah.
Like they had this connection with that place and with Marge and her family that it's almost like everybody's family. It's to create something like that's just awesome, you know, from a restaurant.
Why do you think it resonates? You know, we've done supper clubs on here a couple times, and it always gets a strong response. What is it out there that people respond to this topic?
I think they're just a place that people really connect with. There are places that it's not just a dine and dash experience. You're interacting with people, you're having experience, you're connecting. And I think especially in today's world, I think people are really hungry for that, to connect with each other, the sense of community. I think we want that, and supper clubs have that. So people are like, oh yeah, remember when you would go out for an evening and talk to the people next to you at the bar? So I think people are hungry for that. It's nostalgic. We get older people who, you know, they grew up in that generation where supper clubs were the big thing. And we're getting a lot of people, a lot more like 20, 30 something year olds who are really interested in going to it and making it a new thing for them because they want that unique experience and that connection.
Because of the nature of the place where you stay there a long time, you're just more apt to create more memories. So I think that's why people have a stronger feeling about them.
You never rush through a supper
club.
Yeah, you make an evening of it. When was your first old fashioned? When was your first brandy old fashioned?
I don't think it was at the Sullivan's. I honestly don't think I remember anymore.
Then it was a good old fashioned.
It was a good old fashioned. I actually really like the Manhattan's, which is probably second to the old fashioned in popularity drinks. they usually make those with the brandy like they make the old fashions with brandy as well. So it's just a little stronger version of that.
I learned some great stuff in watching your documentary. The largest amount of paved rural roads in the country, in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So tell us how that ties into the Supper Club thing.
Yep. So in the film, we have Jim Drager with the Wisconsin Historical Society, and he talks about how the dairy industry was so big in Wisconsin that the farmers had to get their milk to market. So they have Wisconsin has the most paved rural roads in the country. And that led to people being able to go on these Sunday drives out in the country and go to these supper clubs that are in rural areas. Supper clubs tend to be more in rural areas. You'll see them in urban areas too. But it was that experience of going out for a drive and having a destination. So Wisconsin, with all these paved roads, was the perfect place for the supper club.
Do you see supper clubs changing? I mean, I've been to the old fashioned in Madison, mm-hmm. you know, and they're a little more health conscious. And I know they do the farmer's market right across the street mm-hmm. there and stuff. And I mean, do you see with dietary needs and stuff like that, the menus at supper clubs morphing and changing?
Definitely. I definitely saw a good amount of supper clubs that were having gluten-free, healthier, lighter options is definitely a big thing right now. But there are a few supper clubs where they're like, the menu's been the same. And that's not changing. So yeah. It's just, I'm thinking about the White Stag Inn near Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And that, like, the menu is one page. I think maybe a handful of items are on there, but everything is done well. And it's just amazing food, but they're not changing anything.
What else? Ray Radigan's closed. Tell us about Ray Radigan's and how you included them. When I was doing my research, I explain how you did the definition between a supper club and a steakhouse and things like mm-hmm. that.
Well, Ray Radigan's was a supper club that was just across the border mm-hmm. and from Illinois into Wisconsin. And it was going on, I think, the fourth generation. It was one of the oldest supper clubs in the state. And it shut down this past spring. I don't know exactly what happened there, but the daughter who I think was going to step in and kind of take things over, I think she kind of switched her direction. So the dad was getting a little old. Supper clubs, restaurant industry is a pretty tough, you know, industry to be in. Yeah. So they shut it down, and it was a shock to the community and the people that work there. So we in our film, we talk about what losing the supper club would look like. And we have Ray Radigan's in there, and we never, ever imagined that would be one to close. It was shocking when we learned that. So let's...
You were talking about the difference between, like, steakhouse or mm-hmm. supper club or something. That's kind of an interesting thing because, again, I was coming onto this not really knowing, and so I...
You were from Michigan.
Yeah. I was just helping her out. I wasn't really a filmmaker. I do a podcast about cinema called Illusion Travels by Streetcar. Where,
very good.
Because I'm a big... I got to plug my stuff.
Yeah, rather.
But I'm a big film, like, buff, but I wanted to basically help out, you know, however I could. So I went on, like, a lot of these trips with her just kind of scouting. Uh-huh. And sometimes we get to a town and we would just almost look in the phone book or... and just see what's the supper club. And we'd come to some of these places. Sometimes she'd say, no, this isn't a supper club, even though it was called one. And sometimes we'd go to a place and it wasn't called supper club. And she was, this is. And it would be kind of like almost this checklist of things she would have. And she'd kind of like say, oh, but it has too many TVs, so it's not a supper club. And she's like, oh, it has a TV, but it has this. So we can, it's not like a distinctive, definite, like, people will argue, a lot of people argue that Old Fashioned in Madison is not a supper club.
Yeah, right.
And some people will.
Yeah, yeah. What about linen napkins? I found them going by the wayside. I mean, that used to be a staple of an old supper club. Somebody told me that they were too hard to wash and maintain and stuff like that.
I think it's an expense thing.
Yeah, right.
It's, you know, like supper clubs, a lot of them are trying to cut corners because they're dealing with a lot more chain restaurants coming into smaller communities. So they're trying to look to save money. But yeah, I think the table cloths and table like linen napkins are still a huge thing. And some more of the higher end supper clubs. But it's important, I think, and I appreciate it when I see it.
What do you think about the whole trend of private club? I mean, that does happen around Chicago. Like, they have, like, private dinners on Sunday night, and they call it, like, a supper club. Is that really a supper club, or is that just the name of a supper club?
It's just – supper club can mean so many things nowadays. Like you were just saying, it can be a private group of friends meeting together, or a chefs will host pop-up supper clubs. You have the Kit Kat Supper Club and Lounge in Boys Town, but – they're all supper clubs, but in their own way. Like the Kit Kat Club, that's more like the European supper club, where it's a little bit more risque. You still got like dinner and entertainment, but it's a little bit more modern and trendy.
Flashing neon lights.
Flashing neon.
And a little bit performers.
More. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
it's performance art almost.
Yeah. It's really a work of love. It really is. You really put a lot into it.
Yeah, it was. This was supposed to be a short documentary when I started. It was a project I wanted to make when I was in college. I didn't have a car. When I met my husband, he had a car, and he let me take it on the road. So when I started shooting, it was just going to be a short. And then I suddenly found Therese and Brenda and Jim, who are these experts that talk to the history of Wisconsin, the foodways, that had done all this research, and they knew all this stuff, and it kind of grew from there. And we have some amazing information about fish fries and brandy old fashions and just what made Wisconsin the perfect place for the supper club.
Got a minute or two left. I do want to talk about, you had your wedding reception at a supper
club? Yeah, we did.
Where was that at?
It was Lake House Inn in Edgerton, which is just south of Madison. And we actually looked for a long time for a venue. She wanted something that was different, and we went to this supper club, and they hadn't ever done weddings before, and we kind of took a gamble. We said, would you want to do a wedding? And they did an amazing job.
They shut down the restaurant the night for us.
Oh, that's great.
And it's one of those great supper clubs where you're driving through the country and then you're like, wait, what's that? You don't know it's there. There's no, you know, it's just one of those great supper clubs that's just tucked away in the rural roads of Wisconsin.
We got to invite all our Chicago and Michigan friends, and they got to experience what all that was.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So 7:45, January 23rd, and again at 6 p.m., January 28th, at the Siskel Center, 164 North State. Do you want to talk about the thing in April?
Yeah.
What you know about it? Yep. I want to bring you guys should come back on. I want to give you a little more time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big thing, and we could talk about the thing in April. That's a great event. So
definitely.
Talk about that.
We're partnering with the Greater Midwest Foodways, and we're going to be doing a supper club like weekend up in the Racine and Kenosha area, April 8th through the 9th. So you can visit greatermidwestfoodways.com for more information, or you can also visit Old Fashioned, the movie, and you can get information on our film, and we'll be posting upcoming events like that with the Greater Midwest Foodways. And also, we're going to be doing a tour this summer with the film, doing community screenings.
Oh, good.
I'm going to be partnering with Mary Bergen.
She's
she's a great author.
Look at all the Supper Club fans out there.
So many people outside love Supper Clubs. Yeah. Mary's book, Wisconsin Supper Club Cookbook, just came out, and we're doing tours around the area with that.
And well, she's going to be here for the screenings at the Gene as well. We're going to have some after parties after the screenings at the Gene Siskel. And Mary will be there.
I'll try to get to one of those, too.
Okay.
On a Thursday.
Yes,
on a Thursday.
Definitely. We'll definitely come.
Look on our webpage.
I got to find more copies of my book. I got to call the warehouse, but this is the only one I got. But, hey, thank you so much for coming in and hanging in there. And thanks again so much.
Thanks for having us.
Holly DeRuyter and Brian Risalata.
Yes.
Very good. And that is of Old Fashioned, the story of the Wisconsin Supper Club.